गिरीवरधारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम राम
श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6, entitled Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away, Texts 30 and 31. So we'll recite text 30.
Nayatra dambhiti abhaya virajita Mayatma vade sakradatma vadi bhi न यद्विवादो विविधस्तदाश्रयो मनश्च संकल्प विकल्प वृत्तिय न यत्र दम्भित्य भया विराजिता मायात्मवादे सकृदात्मवादिभि न यद्विवादो विविधस्तदाश्रयो मनश्च संकल्प विकल्प वृत्तिय न यत्र दम्भिति अभया विराजिता मायात्मवादे सकृदात्मवादिभि न यद्विवादो विविधस्तदाश्रयो मनश्च संकल्प विकल्प वृत्तिय यत्र दम्भित्य भया विराजिता न यद्विवादो विविधस्तदाश्रयो न यत्र दम्भित्यभया विराजिता मायात्मवादे सकृदात्मवादिभि यद्विवादो विविधस्तदाश्रयो నయత్ర దంభిత్యభియా విరాజితా మయాత్మవాదే సకృదాత్మవాదిభిః నయద్వివాదో వివిధస్తదాశ్రయో నయత్ర దంభిత్యభయా విరాజితా మాయాత్మవాదే సకృదాత్మవాదిభిః నయద్వివాదో వివిధస్తదాశ్రయో మనశ్చ సంకల్ప వికల్ప వృత్తియా.
విల్ చాంట్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్. నయత్ర సృజ్యం సృజతోభ్యం పరం శ్రేయశ్చ జీవస్త్రిభిరన్వితస్త్వహం తదేతదుత్సాదిత బాధ్యబాధకం నిషిధ్య చోర్మిన్ విరమేత తన్మునిః. వర్డ్ బై వర్డ్ మీనింగ్స్. నా నాట్ యత్ర ఇన్ విచ్ దంభీ హీజ్ అ హిపోక్రిట్ ఇతి థింకింగ్ దస్ అభయా ఫియర్లెస్ విరాజితా విజిబుల్ మాయా ద ఇల్యూషరీ ఎనర్జీ ఆత్మవాదే వెన్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఎన్క్వైరీ ఇస్ బీయింగ్ కండక్టెడ్ అసకృత్ కాన్స్టాంట్లీ ఆత్మవాదిభి by those who describe spiritual science. Na, not. Yat, in which. Vivadah, materialistic argument. Vividah, taking many different forms. Tat ashrayah, founded upon that illusory energy. Manah, the mind. Cha and sankalpa, decision, vikalpa and doubt, vritti, whose functions, yat, in which, na, not, yatra, in which, srijayam, the created products of the material world, srijata, along with their causes, ఉభయో బై బోత్ పరం అచీవ్డ్ శ్రేయ ద బెనిఫిట్స్ చ అండ్ జీవ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ త్రిభి విత్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ అన్విత జాయిన్డ్ టు ఇన్ డీడ్ అహం కండిషన్డ్ బై ఫాల్స్ ఈగో తదేత that indeed utsadita excluding badhya the obstructed conditioned living beings badhakam and the obstructing modes of material nature nishidhya warding off cha and urmin the waves of false ego and so on viramita should take special pleasure tat in that munihi a sage. Translation and purport by the disciples of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation: but there exists a supreme reality in which the illusory energy cannot fearlessly dominate, thinking I can control this person because he is deceitful. In that highest reality, there are no illusory argumentative philosophies. Rather, there are true students of spiritual science constantly engaged in authorized spiritual investigation. In that supreme reality, there is no manifestation of the material mind which functions in terms of alternating decision and doubt. created material products, their subtle causes, and the goals of enjoyment attained by their utilization do not exist there. Furthermore, in that supreme reality, there is no conditioned spirit covered by false ego and the three modes of nature. That reality excludes everything limited or limiting. One who is wise, therefore, should stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth. Purport. The illusory energy of the Lord Maya can freely exert her influence over those who are hypocritical, deceitful, and disobedient to the laws of God. Since the personality of Godhead is free of all material qualities, Maya herself becomes fearful in his presence. As stated by Lord Brahma, Vilajjamanaya yasya sthatum ikshapate muya. Maya herself is ashamed to stand face to face with the Supreme Lord. In the supreme spiritual reality, useless academic wrangling is completely absent. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.31, Yat chaktayo vadatam vadinam vai vivada samvada bhuvo bhavanti kurvanti chaisham muhuratma moham tasmai namo ananta gunaya bhumne. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views, he causes them to forget their own souls while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing upon among themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So this beautiful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam we are going through, and in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam we find how Maharaj Parikshit has passed away, has left his body, and thereafter Srila Suta Goswami is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in these series of verses he is describing about the different energies of the Supreme Lord, the spiritual energy of the Lord and the material manifestation of the Lord. In the previous verse he described two characteristics of the material energy of the Lord, that the material energy is unstoppable and it is all pervading. And in these two verses Srila Suta Goswami is describing the different influences of the illusory energy of the Lord. And he's describing about the Supreme Absolute Truth, that how in the Supreme Absolute Truth, these influences of the material energy are absent. And these verses is describing what are these influences of the material energy, which manifests in the following ways. So he specifically is like highlighting four categories of these influences. He's mentioning that the argumentative philosophies on the nature of the absolute, who is the supreme, such argumentative philosophies are absent in the spiritual realm. Then is describing the confusions and doubts of the material mind, that is also absent. The sources and aspirations, desires for material enjoyment, that is also absent in the Supreme Absolute Truth. And finally he says that the false ego and the modes of nature, they are also absent. And towards the end of the shloka, Srila Suta Goswami is giving a very succinct recommendation for the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is ending the shloka by mentioning that therefore one should stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth. So it's very surprising we see in the material world that even though people are tossed by these waves of material enjoyment, they are even unable to perceive these waves. In March of 2014, there was an aircraft that had taken off from Malaysia and it was going above the Indian Ocean, and all of a sudden it went missing off the radar. The aircraft was MH370, and 25 different countries were endeavoring hard to find the remains of that MH370 in the Indian Ocean. And I happened to come across a video of that search expedition. And seeing that video, I could understand what it means to be in deep sea. Now, we have experiences of seeing the sea and the ocean, maybe at the Chowpatty beach or maybe Jagannath Puri waves we must have seen. And it appears to be, haan, theek hai. Dur se it's like, you know, it's very furious, one shouldn't go into the sea too much. But maybe none of us have had an experience or an understanding what it means to be in deep sea. Maybe Leela Shuk Prabhu or anyone from the Navy, they will know what is a deep sea. And this video was demonstrating how this search expedition, the ship, it was so difficult for the ship to even traverse because there were these huge waves, about 50 to 60 feet high. Such huge waves, and the ship is just going up the wave and then just coming down, and the next wave is about to pounce on the ship. Very fearful. And I was thinking that in such a situation, it's so difficult to even keep moving ahead. What to talk of finding the remains of a, you know, missing plane. But then when the Shastras describe about Bhavasagar, the ocean of material existence, this ocean of material existence, the waves are invisible. You can't even see the waves. If you are able to perceive the waves, you can steer the ship. You can steer the, you know, ocean liner, whatever, and keep moving ahead. But then if you just can't see the waves, it's so difficult to keep moving ahead. What to talk of crossing the Bhavasagar? So like if someone is traversing if someone is sailing in an ocean liner, so it's very nice as long as the sea is calm. They come out on the deck and they take pictures and everything. But if the sea is turbulent, the whole journey is, you know, is unforgettable in the opposite sense, basically. But then when we read these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam actually help us to see those waves of Bhavasagar, see those influences of the material energy. And if we can see these influences, how these waves are present before us, maybe we can, you know, play better. In cricket, there is something known as the sight screen. How many of you know what is a sight screen? Only two people know. Okay. So side screen is like a black or a white board at the end of the field behind the umpire. So the purpose, it's just a black kind of a big board. The purpose of that side screen is to make sure that the batsman is able to see the ball when it is being delivered to him. If the ball is perfectly visible without any distractions in the behind, you know, people walking or shouting, the crowd is there. So if the ball is perfectly visible, the batsman is able to play it. If he is unable to see the ball, it costs his wicket. Right? So similarly, these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, they act as side screen for us. They help us see these influences of the illusory energy. And if we are able to perceive these influences in the world around us, maybe we'll also be able to play better. So here Srila Suta Goswami is categorizing these influences into four parts. First of all, he is mentioning that there are argumentative philosophies about the Supreme. In other words, there are deviations in this material world. And if we are aware of what these argumentative philosophies are, we'll be careful about the deviations. Then he's mentioning there are doubts, there are confusions of the material mind. The material mind is there because of which there is a lot of confusion and lot of doubts. Then there are desires in this world, desires and sources for material enjoyment. And finally, there is delusion. The living entity, the conditioned living entity, is covered by false ego and the material modes of nature. So we'll look at each of these influences and discuss, try to elaborate on each of these things, the deviations in the understanding of the Supreme, the doubts about the doubts of the material mind, the desires of the living being, the conditioned living being for material enjoyment, and the delusion of the living entity because of being covered by the false ego and the material modes of nature. So in connection with the deliverance of Ajamil, Yamraj is talking to his subordinates, the Yamadutas, who have questioned Yamraj's authority. And they are like questioning that we knew that you are the ultimate, lawmaker. But then Yamraj is clarifying what is true law, what is true religion. And he's saying, dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam, that real religion is that which is enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like no one can manufacture the state laws sitting in his home, similarly no one can manufacture the laws of religion on his own. The laws of religion are something that needs to be understood and heard from the Supreme himself. Queen Kunti is describing the nature of the illusory energy of the Lord in her prayers to Lord Krishna, and she's saying, Maya Javanika Channam Agya Adhyokshaja Avyayam Na Lakshase Moodha Drisha Nato Natya Dharo Yatha. She's saying, my dear Lord, you are covered by this curtain of illusory energy. And because of this curtain of illusory energy, the foolish people, the Moodha Drisha, they are unable to see you. You are invisible to the foolish perceptors. And therefore, you are invisible to these foolish observers. And we see in the society all around how, even specifically the country of India, is filled with so many pseudo, saints and gurus who have these argumentative philosophies about the Supreme, who have these, different philosophies, and they're practicing something pretentious in the name of true religion. In his conversation with Yudhishthir Maharaj, Narad Muni is describing what are these, different aspects of irreligion that are, prevalent in the world. And very interesting, Narad Muni very succinctly, he identifies five varieties of irreligion which are prevalent in this world. Five varieties of these argumentative philosophies which Srila Suta Goswami is describing, which is a result of the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord. And Srila Narad Muni is mentioning, Vidharma paradharmascha abhasa upama chalah अधर्म शाखा पंचम धर्मोज्ञो धर्मवत त्यजेत. So he's highlighting five aspects of irreligion, five aspects of deviant philosophies as a result of the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord. The first he says is vidharma. Vidharma is these are argumentative philosophies which support that one can follow any type of religion, irrespective, whatever one likes. Prabhupada used to say, jato mat tato pat. People believe that, you know, as many opinions, that many ways to keep moving ahead on the path of religion. But actually it is not that way. Prabhupada, in one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that to create a new type of dharma has become fashionable in this age. In this age of Kali, to create a new type of dharma, if you come up with a new variety of religion, drishtona shrutova, which has never been heard or seen before, right? The market will be immense. You will also gather followers and, you know, that will also sell like anything. But then, like Yamaraj is mentioning, dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The example is given that there was a person who one time he adorned, you know, saffron robes, and he came before his friends and said, you know, I have joined a new mission. So what is this new mission? The friends were very inquisitive. What is this new mission? He said, the name of my new mission is Murgi Mission. So this is a new mission, Murgi Mission. So you have left everything and you have put this saffron clothes. So what about your family and everything? So he said, no. The aim of this mission is that you can be with the family and still be renounced. You can be with your family members and you can be in your ordinary dealings and everything and still be renounced. That is the characteristic of this highlight, the speciality. All the other missions, if you have to become a sannyasi, you have to, you know, leave home and be in a forest or, you know, away from the mainstream society like that. But this is different. This Murgi Mission, you can be in your home and be still a sadhu. So then his friends asked, okay, but then, you know, Murgi Mission, that means previously used to eat all this non-veg and everything and now you have to leave everything. He said, no. Again, the aspect of this, another highlight of this Murgi Mission is that you can eat everything, anything that you want and still be a renunciant. So Prabhupada sometimes in his lectures, he quotes this Murgi Mission. How people in this day and age, they take pleasure in manufacturing something which is as per their comfort, which is as per their convenience, so that they get best of both the worlds. So this is classified as vidharma by Narad Muni. The second aspect of irreligion, which Narad Muni is highlighting to Yudhishthira Maharaj, is paradharma. This paradharma is religious principles that are quite bona fide, but the person, the recipient, is not suitable for following this paradharma. Just like Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is proposing an aspect of paradharma, of he is proposing to follow paradharma before Krishna. And he's saying that, you know, better to act as a kshatriya on this battlefield, better I just renounce everything and become a sannyasi, walk into the forest. But this suggestion of paradharma is, you know, cast away, is denied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another example is of all these, you know, different false Babajis or false gurus who claim that they have something higher to offer, who claim to, you know, tell you the swaroop of your spiritual world. And better, now that you know the swaroop of your swaroop in the spiritual world, better you start practicing. Maybe you are a peacock in the spiritual world. So, you know, the followers are also enthused to start acting like peacocks and they actually start practicing, you know, reciting the sounds of the peacock. We won't have that exercise here. But then that is what is known as the paradharma. And we know the example how Srila Prabhupada used to get very much irritated. Prabhupada was very irritated when he came to know that a group of his followers had formed something known as the Gopi Bhava Club in the Western countries. And Prabhupada just said, this is absolutely nonsensical. This is absolutely nonsensical. We are not in a position to appreciate, we are not in a position to imitate, you know, the position, the activities of these exalted devotees. So this is paradharma, that philosophies that are quite bona fide, but I am not qualified to practice those philosophies. The third aspect of deviant philosophy, Narad Muni is mentioning, is upadharma, advertising oneself as a follower of dharma while actually rejecting the Vedas. These are like the personalities who dress and adorn themselves as sadhus, but then they dress up with matted locks and ashes and announce themselves as upholders of dharma. And a very, amazing example could be witnessed in when we go to the Kumbh Melas. When initially I heard of the Kumbh Melas, Kumbh Mela is something we had been hearing since childhood, but then, you know, going to a Kumbh Mela was something, you know, really exciting. I remember many years back when I had been to Allahabad for the Maha Kumbh Mela. So I heard that there are akhadas in Kumbh Mela. Now, I did my studies at Delhi, and in Delhi, akhada means a place where, you know, people come and fight. So I just wondering, you know, what is these akhadas? Are people, you know, going to fight over there in Kumbh Mela? What is this? But then actually these akhadas are nothing but shops where people, they claim to have something different, something, you know, different than what is available in rest of the entire arena of Kumbh Mela. And you come and shop here and you will get a different experience. So they adorn themselves in all different kinds of costumes, or sometimes completely without a costume, right? But then they proclaim that they are upholders of dharma. This is known as upadharma. Then there is chala dharma. Chala dharma refers to interpreting the words of the scriptures incorrectly. Just like Prabhupada used to give this example, that there are some commentators on the Bhagavad Gita who proclaim that one should not surrender to Krishna who is speaking the Bhagavad Gita, but one should surrender to the unborn within Krishna. Prabhupada said, here is Krishna who is saying, you know, Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. And then the philosopher, the commentator is mentioning that you don't surrender to Krishna, but you surrender to the unborn within Krishna. Similarly, there are some people who misinterpret the words of the Bhagavad Gita. And they translate this verse, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. Sarvasya chaham, no, you should drink chaham. You and me should drink cha. And what kind of a cha? Sarvasya chaham hridaya, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. Stove pe bani hui chai. You know, chai that is cooked on stove. I mean, people go to this degree of this extreme to, you know, misinterpret the words of the Bhagavad Gita. So these people, the followers of chala dharma, they use complicated words to woo and fool their followers. So they may be able to impress their followers, but actually they don't have anything substantial to offer to their followers. So all of these varieties are the influences of the Lord's illusory energy. The Lord is specifically mentioning that because my illusory energy is at play, therefore, these people are unable to just understand my true nature. And last is abhas dharma. So, vidharma, paradharma, upadharma, chala dharma, and abhas dharma. Abhas is creating some form of devata worship by one's imagination. And we find that, you know, many years back, there was something known as something that had come up in the market. And it sold like anything. And today it is completely absent. This was some 20-25 years back. There was something known as Santoshi Mahavrat. And this Santoshi Mahavrat, there were bhajans about it, there were stories, folk tale about it, and there were, you know, all different booklets about it. And wide, huge following, Santoshi Mahavrat. And today, there is no discussion, there is no, you know, topic about, there is no mention about this. And then we find all these imaginary worship, these Ganesh Mandap. Sometimes they dress up
Lord Ganesha as cricketer or, you know, celebrities. Recently someone had sent me that photo of Goddess Durga dressed up as a surgeon and killing the demon of coronavirus. So, you know, the imagination and these people who are doing, they don't know that they are having a mention in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narad Muni has already classified them in one of these categories. And these deviations are actually nothing but a result of the influence of the illusory energy. So the question here is, what is the way out? What is the way out of all of these, personalities, the followers of Upadharma, Chaladharma, Abhasadharma, Paradharma? So that is, this way out is spoken by Jada Bharat in his words to Maharaj Rahuguna. So Jada Bharat is speaking to Maharaj Rahuguna and is saying that Rahugunaita tapasa na yati na cheijya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryer vina mahatpad rajobhishekam. That these people, these followers of Upadharma, Paradharma, Vidharma, Paradharma, Upadharma, Chaladharma, Abhasadharma, these people, they can never be delivered by performing intense austerities, not by great arrangements of deity worship, not by finishing all their material duties and accepting sannyas, neither by strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, nor by observing celibacy. In sabse nahi hone wala hai. Not by undergoing severe penances in winter, by keeping oneself submerged in water or surrounding himself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. All of these ways will not help him get out of the influence of the illusory energy. So what is the way out? Jada Bharat is very clear. The way out is, absolute truth will only be revealed to one who has attained the mercy of the pure devotees of the Supreme Lord. Unless and until there is the mercy of the Supreme, the mercy of the great devotees of the Supreme Lord, there is no hope for all of these followers who are caught up in the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord. So the first category, the first influence are these deviations that are described. The second category are the doubts. So the translation mentions, in that supreme reality, there is no manifestation of the material mind which functions in terms of alternating decision and doubt. So these two characteristics of the material mind have been described, indecision and doubt. And it is explained that in the material world, the living entity has no clear understanding of what is actually beneficial for him. And therefore, having experienced sufficient cheating by others, so much experience of being cheated by others, the material mind is constantly doubting anyone and everyone. And therefore, Krishna is mentioning in Uddhava Gita how this aspect of doubting is a aspect of his illusory energy. So in the Uddhava Gita, the 11th canto, Krishna is mentioning, Yasam vyatikarad asid vikalpo vadatam padam prapte samadame peti vadastam anu samyati. He's mentioning, by interaction of my energies, different opinions arise. But for those who have fixed their intelligence on me and controlled their senses, differences of perception, they disappear. And consequently, the very cause of argument is removed. And we find this, that it has been the experience of all Krishna conscious followers that depending on the advancement one makes in Krishna consciousness, one is able to perceive that all his aspects of doubt and indecision that were prevalent in the mind, they are getting aligned. The doubts are actually getting removed. And just like the example is given, just like if you move a powerful magnet over a collection of iron filings, the iron filings might be arrayed in all different formation, but as soon as the magnet is hovered over it, all these iron filings, they align. Similar to the material mind, when the material mind surrenders to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the direction of the material mind becomes very clear. What is the direction in which I need to endeavor? And that direction is nothing but the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and the devotees of the Lord. So this is the doubting aspect of the influence of the material energy, how the material energy creates this aspect of doubt in the material mind. The third influence is how the materially conditioned soul is having these desires for material enjoyment. So the case of Dhruva Maharaj is very pertinent herein, where we have heard these pastime many a times, and we know how Dhruva Maharaj is insulted by his stepmother, and you know, he becomes very angry, is disgusted with his father, and he leaves home upon the instruction of his mother. And he meets Narad Muni, is instructed by Narad Muni, and being instructed by Narad Muni in the process of deity worship and meditation on the Supreme Lord, Dhruva Maharaj goes to the forest of Mahavan and starts performing tapasya. And as a result of his intense tapasya, Bhagavatam goes on to explain in great detail the extremities of Dhruva Maharaj's tapasya. And as a result of his penance and his intense remembrance, being filled by his desire to get a kingdom greater than that of his father, Dhruva Maharaj finally attracts the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comes and gives his darshan to little Dhruva. And Dhruva Maharaj is very pleased, and he is like, you know, he offers his prayers to the Supreme Lord and is blessed by the Supreme Lord. And having blessed Dhruva, the Supreme Lord, he disappears from there. He leaves from there. And there, Dhruva Maharaj, he feels very bad. Now just imagine if, you know, someone is blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in person, is there a cause for feeling sad, for feeling, you know, disgusted? So this Viduna is asking this question to Maitreya Muni, that, you know, exalted people who perform so much of tapasya, so much of austerities, even they are unable to get the audience of the Supreme Lord. And here was a 5-year-old boy, little Dhruva. He got the personal darshan of the Supreme Lord, and he glorified and got blessed by the Supreme Lord. Why then was he sad? Why then was Dhruva sad? And Maitreya Muni, he says that Dhruva Maharaj is speaking for himself. Why was he sad? And Dhruva Maharaj is saying, Bhava Chiddah Padamulam Gatva Yache Yad Anvatad. Even after taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can cut off material existence, I prayed for something perishable. Dhruva Maharaj is lamenting here. And Dhruva Maharaj is saying, why did he do so? Why did he still within his heart have this aspiration of wanting something that was perishable? A planet, a position, an abode greater than that of his father. Dhruva Maharaj is mentioning, why did he have that desire? And he's saying, Daivi mayam upashritya prasupta iva bhinna drik tappe dvitiya pi asati bhratr bhratritva hrid ruja. Dhruva Maharaj lamented, I was under the influence of the illusory energy. Being ignorant of the actual facts, I was sleeping on her lap. Under a vision of duality, I saw my brother as an enemy, and falsely I lamented within my heart, thinking these are my enemies. So Dhruva Maharaj is admitting that he was also under the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord, and therefore considering someone as his enemy and someone as his friend, he ended up wanting something, desiring something which was perishable. In that particular, in the purport of this particular verse, Prabhupada writes a very beautiful paragraph. Prabhupada is mentioning the cause of Dhruva Maharaj's lamentation. And he's writing, Dhruva Maharaj was actually initiated by Narad Muni, the greatest Vaishnava, in the chanting of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This mantra is a Vishnu mantra. For by practicing the chanting of this mantra, one is elevated to Vishnu Loka. Dhruva Maharaj regrets that although he was initiated in the Vishnu mantra by a Vaishnava, he still aspired for material benefits. In other words, please listen very carefully. This is for us. Prabhupada is writing. In other words, every one of us who is engaged in devotional service for Krishna consciousness, devotional service in Krishna consciousness, should be completely free from all material contamination, completely free from all material aspirations. Otherwise, we will also have to lament like Dhruv Maharaj. So now when Prabhupada is writing, being completely free from all material aspiration, it is no joke. It is not a joke. You know, being completely free from all desires of, you know, puja, labha, pratishtha, no aspiration for any kind of material benefit. I mean, let's think in a practical manner. No aspiration for any kind of material benefit. No aspiration for any material position. No aspiration for any prestige. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't even call it prestige. No aspiration for respect by others. And no worship from others. Now, we may find that, you know, each of us, we have a long distance to go. We have a long way to go. But nonetheless, these aspects, these purports of Srila Prabhupada, they keep us reminded of the golden standard. That how this is the golden standard towards which we have to keep moving ahead. And therefore, if we know the cause, what causes it, we will be careful. Just like in the current day and age, if we know that, you know, the disease spreads through air, so we wear a mask. If we know that disease, the coronavirus disease spreads through, you know, surface touching, through the transmission by surfaces, so we constantly wash our hands. So if the cause is known, the precaution is easy to take. So similarly, the cause of material aspiration, Dhruv Maharaj is mentioning, is the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord. And the solution is mentioned by Krishna himself in the Gita. Mam evaye prapadyante maya metams tarantite. So it may appear very simple. Are simple. Daivi esha gunmai. The illusory energy is composing of the three modes of nature, which is the last influence. And the way out is simple. Maya metam tarantite. Mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Anyone who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. Krishna is mentioning, Bhagavatam mentions the whole material world, the Bhava Sagar that we were discussing, that entire ocean of material existence reduces to the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Just this much. Now it may appear to be very simple. Yes, Krishna, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is very simple, but not easy. Classic statement of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna consciousness is simple, but not easy. Because you need to keep doing the same thing over and over, over a period of time. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Satata yuktanam, Krishna is mentioning. Very first line. You know, one who is always engaged in worshipping me with love. Bhajatam priti purvakam. By worshipping me with love, dadami buddhi yogam tam. That is when I give him the intelligence by which he can come to me. Yena mam upayanti te. So this is the material desire. How the cause of the material desire, the presence of the material desire is a result of the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord. And only if we are constantly, if we manage to engage our minds in the service of the Supreme, the solution is nothing, you know, it's not a rocket science. The solution is very simple, but then just the mind needs to be, you know, repeatedly brought under this principle of being engaged in the service of Krishna. So yes, we discussed about the deviation, we discussed about the doubts, we discussed about the desires, and the last influence which is mentioned by Suta Goswami here is the delusion of the material mind. The influence of the illusory energy, how the illusory energy puts the living entity under the three modes of nature. And this illusory energy of the Lord covers the living entity by false ego and the three modes of material nature. And that is when he falsely believes and propagates himself the living entity being under the influence of the illusory energy starts identifying and propagating himself as the proprietor, controller and enjoyer of everything that he surveys in this world. So of course, talking about the modes of nature and false ego, a lot can be said about it, but then we don't have so much time. So I'll just recollect a famous example in this connection, how this example very, very, very visually demonstrates the influence of the illusory energy, the delusion of the material mind. So Subhashita describes the condition of a typical materially conditioned soul. The verse says, Markatasya surapanam madhye vrishchika darshanam tan madhye bhuta sancharo yadva tadva bhavishyati. What does this mean? Very interesting. Please wait for 5 more minutes. We'll go a little over time today. In Lower Parel, there is a cafe. The name of that cafe is Drunken Monkey. Actually, this is a group of bars having hundreds of outlets all over India. I've never been to any of those, but then I just came to, know. So this Drunken Monkey, Subhashita gives the example of the Drunken Monkey. What is the condition of this Drunken Monkey? Markatasya sudhapanam. First of all, is a monkey. The monkey is compared, monkey is restless by nature. So this monkey is compared to the restless mind. This restless mind, the mind is restless with abundant material desires within. Already the fuel is there. Without taking a step ahead, the fuel is already there. Monkey, creation is like that. Material mind, filled with material desires. Markatasya. Second word is surapanam. He is drunk. Drunk with experiences of material enjoyment. A drunken person, his mind is lost in something else. So similarly, a materially conditioned soul, his mind is absorbed in all those experiences of past material enjoyment that he has had. So markatasya surapanam. He is drunk. Further, madhye vrischika dankshanam. He is stung by a scorpion. What does this scorpion bite refer to? The scorpion bite refer to the provocations and advertisements from the outside world, which keep on, stinging him time to time. Just enjoy, just do it. Buy this, go for this, purchase this. We all keep getting SMSs. I mean, we don't have a penny in our pocket and we'll keep this SMS. We keep getting this SMS, buy a 5 BHK flat in Palava in, with these amenities and everything. Such a joke. Such a joke. So stung by scorpion and the whole world is filled with such provocations for material enjoyment, such advertisements for material enjoyment. I'll give you a very, very pertinent example. When the Twin Towers were attacked in New York City many, many years back, the President of the United States of America, President George Bush, he was addressing the country. And in his address, what was the solution, what was the recommendation given by the President? The President, it's very surprising. How can someone speak like that? The President said, no matter, this has happened in our country, a time of great, upheaval. So what you need to do? Go shopping. That was the recommendation of the President of the United States. Go shopping. Buy what you like. Spend how much you want. That is how you will be happy. That was the solution being provided by the President of the country. Go shopping after such a huge devastation has taken place. So that is being stung by the scorpion. Drunken, we are discussing about the drunken monkey. Right? Markatasya surapanam madhya vrischika dangchanam tan madhya bhuta sancharo. He not only is he a monkey, not only is he drunk, not only is he stung by a scorpion, he is also haunted by a ghost. And what is this ghost? This ghost is actually the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which one is unable to perceive. You don't perceive a ghost, right? when a ghost actually takes over someone, you know, what has happened is, you know, it's difficult to ascertain. So similarly, this monkey, this drunken monkey being stung by a scorpion, is also haunted by a ghost. And then someone extended this analogy, which is not there in the verse, but then, you know, such a drunken monkey being stung by a scorpion, being like dominated by a ghost, he steps on hot charcoal. This hot charcoal is described as some opportunity for material sense gratification. Now, all these desires and everything, provocations and everything might be there. But then, most of the time, people keep lamenting, oh, you know, if and only if. But then, if this monkey steps on hot charcoal, which is like an opportunity or facility for sense gratification, what to talk of condition of such a monkey? So the fact is, you know, all of us may smile and laugh at this drunken monkey being stung by a scorpion, haunted by a ghost. But then, the fact of the matter is that actually we are all that monkey. Because we are in delusion since time immemorial. And therefore, Sripad Sankaracharya is mentioning punarapi jananam punarapi maranam punarapi janani jathare shayanam iha samsare bahu dustare kripaya pare pahi murare. That only if we get the mercy of the Supreme Lord, that is when we will also come out of this delusion. So I'll just summarize what we discussed today. We discussed that how this verse describes that in the spiritual realm, these influences of the material energy are absent, and these influences are categorized, can be categorized into the different deviations that we see, the different argumentative philosophies about the Supreme, the dilemma of the material mind, the confusion, the indecision that is there, the desires, the aspiration sources for material enjoyment, and finally the delusion, the covering of the false ego and the material modes of nature. And therefore, illusory energy cannot dominate in the spiritual realm. And therefore, we need to understand that there is a need for us to be always on Krishna's side. Just like, you know, Vibhishan, he could understand the influence of Ravana in Lanka, who represents the illusory energy of the Lord. Just like Vibhishan took a decision that I can't be under the influence of Ravana, I need to be on Lord Ram's side. And he made that endeavor to come out of Ravana and come out of Lanka and be with Lord Ramachandra. So similarly, you know, we also need to make sure that we are also always on Krishna's side, because Krishna's, the Supreme Lord himself, his words and his representatives are always there to help us. And that is when we'll be able to fulfill the recommendation, we'll be able to live up to the expectation of Srila Suta Goswami in this verse, wherein he says to stop the waves of material life, that therefore one should endeavor to stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that spiritual truth. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and being here today morning. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai.